Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Today's program is number 5 in this series about the election. The controversy continues. The news keeps pouring in. The way it looks, I might eventually be doing program 157 on Question the Election, but let's hope not. I'm sure you've noticed that there is a mainstream news blackout regarding investigation into this election fraud. All of these hearings and the firsthand witness testimonies are not being reported on. I was watching the ABC News the other night, and it didn't even mention the huge news event that the state of Texas is suing Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. All the news was about COVID. It almost makes one wonder if the media is spending all of its time covering the COVID situation as a cover for not addressing the election situation. The story here is not just about possible election fraud, but about media malfeasance. And that's what this week's program is about, the lies and the suppression of the media. And it's not just a failure to cover the news, it's worse. The allegations of election fraud are being mocked and ridiculed. Last week, President Trump did a run around the media and posted his response to the possibilities of election fraud on Facebook and YouTube. The New York Times headlines, Trump in video from White House did a 46-minute diatribe on rigged elections. Rigged is in quote marks. Basically, the report was Trump was lying. And President Trump did a rally on Saturday in Georgia, and there he gave his support to two Republican senators who will be in the January 5th runoff election. And Trump laid out his case for election fraud. And here's how the New York Times reported the rally. Trump's final days of rage and denial. And this piece was picked up and reposted on Yahoo News, Twitter, Facebook. Quote, moody and by accounts of his advisors sometimes depressed, the president barely shows up to work, ignoring the health and economic crisis affecting the nation and largely clearing his public schedule of meetings unrelated to his desperate bid to rewrite the election results. Well, that's funny. In his speech in Georgia, the president said he hasn't worked harder in the last 2 weeks than in any other time. Well, the article continues. He has fixated on rewarding friends, purging the disloyal, and punishing a growing list of perceived enemies that now include Republican governors, his own attorney general, and even Fox News. The final days of the Trump presidency have taken on the stormy elements of a drama more common to history or literature than a modern White House. His rage and detached from reality refusal to concede defeat invokes images of a besieged overlord in some distant land, defiantly clinging to power rather than going into exile, or an erratic English monarch imposing his version of reality on his court. Some other quotes. His relentless campaign to discredit the election. Also on Saturday night, Trump took his unreality show to Georgia. Also at times, Trump's ranting or railing against his fate outburst seems like a story straight out of William Shakespeare, part tragedy, part farce, full of sound and fury. Is Trump a modern day Julius Caesar, forsaken by some of his closest courtiers? The forces are being picked off, and the tyrant is holed up in his castle, and he's growing increasingly anxious, and he feels insecure, and he starts blustering about his legitimate sovereignty, and he starts accusing his opponents of treason. Well, why does the New York Times read all this evil into Trump's actions? Why isn't the story, Trump continues to work to ensure honest election results? Or even, Trump says he's working to achieve honest election results. Well, they're not going to report it that way because in their worldview, in their preference for Biden, they believe Biden should win the election. The media is fabricating their own interpretation of the situation. And here we have to remember the biblical definition of lying. You don't have to know you're lying in order to lie. I'm sure Peter Baker at the New York Times, the writer of that article, when he wrote this piece, he fully believed he was reflecting reality, that I'm not lying, that's just the way I see it. But biblically, a lie is any misrepresentation of reality, regardless of whether or not one knows one is lying. The false prophets in the Old Testament and the Pharisees in the New Testament were totally convinced that they were telling the truth, but they were liars. Notice the following media headlines from this last week stating that the claims of election fraud are baseless. Not just questionable, not just debatable, but baseless, meaning without any foundation in fact. And in this, the media is lying. Washington Post. Trump escalates baseless attack on election. New York Times. Small cracks emerge in GOP support for Trump's baseless fraud claims. PBS. In video, Trump spreads baseless claims about voter fraud. CNN. Top Republicans defend Trump on baseless voter fraud claims as concern grows in the ranks. MSNBC. Trump maintains baseless claims of voter fraud. What kind of court system is this? USA Today. Trump rehashes baseless election claims. CBS. Trump repeats baseless fraud claims. The Guardian. Trump's baseless claims of Georgia voter fraud sparks fears among Republicans. The Mediaite. Trump pushes series of baseless election fraud claims. Politico. The MAGA bullhorn shouts Trump's baseless claims of fraud. Associated Press. States cite smooth election despite Trump's baseless claims. So this is how the media is reporting the story. Even after it is a proven fact that these battleground states violated their state law by changing election procedure. And even as we have watched dozens of citizens testify in hearings in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, and in Michigan, giving eyewitness accounts of election corruption. The media has completely ignored these testimonies, these affidavits. When we know for sure that if the shoe was on the other foot and it were the Democrats fighting election fraud to elect Biden, every night we would be hearing on the news new bombshell revelations, worker shipping mystery ballots, or new bombshell revelations of ballots being counted after poll watchers told to go home. Just like during the Russian collusion hoax, every time the media found the scantiest hearsay evidence against President Trump, all the news media would make the lead story and they would all use the same language. This is a bombshell. This is the tipping point. This is the beginning of the end.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with the bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
I do not think the president will serve out his term.
Resignation.
Resignation.
I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way, no how.
Breaking news.
An absolute bombshell.
I think Donald Trump is in trouble.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight, the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning of the end.
Today, the biggest
tipping point for the Trump administration.
What a historic day. The bombshells, they fell.
It's entropy and it's crumbling internally.
He's underwater. He feels
the walls closing in.
Could his testimony be a turning point?
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is a bombshell.
If those on the left supported biblical values and biblical law, what you just saw is how they would be reporting revelations of election fraud, but they don't. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity. Or how about Hosea chapter 9, verse 7? Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. They are demented because of their sin and hostility, and that's a description of Trump derangement syndrome. Now, in a moment, I'm going to get to some more biblical teaching on all this, but I first want us to understand that this question of media objectivity in the election is not just a partisan thing. In a recent Rasmussen poll, 20% of Democrats and 30% of independents believe the election was stolen by Cheney. Now, of course, 80% of Republicans believe the election was stolen. But as a whole, 47% of Americans believe Trump should be declared the winner. 50% do not. The real story here is not that 50% of Americans believe that Biden is the winner, but a whopping 47% believe that Trump won. Why? Because half of the American population is deluded? No, because there is some real evidence of voter fraud. We know people cheat in elections, and we all know this because we've seen it in our own communities. But again, the media is reporting that this is baseless. That's not reporting, but that's acting as the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor. Does accusing the media of corruption here sound conspiratorial? Well, it is a conspiracy. A conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something that is unlawful or harmful. And what the media is doing, what they're doing is conspiring to do harm by putting a slant on the news. James O'Keefe with the Veritas Project, projectveritas.org, has just revealed some more undercover video. For the past 2 months, he has been able to record CNN's morning call to all of their staff. And Project Veritas is releasing one recording every day from now until Christmas. Now, each call is about an hour long, so there's a lot to wade through. But as is expected, CNN is not reporting the news objectively. It is selectively framing the news according to its social political ideology. And what we're hearing is Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN, and the staff saying things, even back in September, like, we have to target Lindsey Graham. And we have to frame the story that if Trump does not concede and there is a bad transition in the White House, that it's going to threaten national security. Also, we have to resist normalizing the president. We have to frame the story as if the president is acting erratic and desperate. And on the recording, The political director at CNN is captured saying that they will not run the story of Hunter Biden because, quote, it is a right-wing echo chamber. So we have to realize that CNN and many other major news outlets are not reporting the news. They are evangelistic arms of the left, leftist ideology, because they are all disciples of secular humanism. A genuine news outlet would just report all the stories as they come in, but not CNN, not MSNBC, not CBS, not ABC. They tailor the stories to fit the narrative that they want to promote. Hans Spakovsky wrote in Heritage back in October, U.S. election fraud is real and it's being ignored. And his point is that the media just doesn't care about election fraud because basically it favors the Democrats. But quote, USA Today and PBS have not spent any time or resources investigating or reporting on the findings of a recent report by the Public Interest Legal Foundation that exposes thousands of individuals who may have illegally voted more than once in 2016 and 2018. It is important to remember that every fraudulent vote that is cast invalidates the vote of an eligible voter. We have many close elections in this country, and plenty of people stand to gain financially and have incentives to cheat, as well as some individuals who just want to promote or boost their preferred candidate. Well, this Heritage article demonstrates that this story of election fraud is not something coming from, you know, fringe, kooky conspiracy theorists. Election fraud is a fact. Jeffrey Lord, in his Newsbuster article on the media calling election fraud baseless claims, asks the question why. The question then is why. Why in the world would all these liberal outlets run these stories and put themselves out there, misreport the story when any decent fact checker can quickly disprove them? Well, the answer is simple. They hate President Donald Trump. Again, Hosea chapter 9, verse 7, because your hostility is so great, you have become demented. So the media will tell lies. And second, what we're now seeing is also the suppression or the censorship of truth. Here's a Newsbuster article. Some dedicated conservative decided to research and count the number of times Twitter censored the Trump campaign. The article is entitled, Twitter Censors Trump and Campaign 436 Times, Biden Still at Zero. Twitter war with President Donald Trump and the Trump campaign has claimed at least 100 more casualties in the form of labeled tweets. Since Monday, November 30th, Twitter has slapped 111 labels on Trump's tweets and tweets from his official campaign. Many of these tweets include video from Fox News, One American Network, and Newsmax. In one instance, a tweet from Team Trump questioning why a label has been placed on another tweet was also given the label, quote, this claim about election fraud has been disputed. Since May 31st, 2018, Trump and his campaign have been censored by Twitter at least 436 times. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joe Biden and his campaign have been censored zero times. And if you think that's bad, here is this piece of news. YouTube says it will start deleting any content alleging 2020 election voter fraud. If your YouTube claims there is election fraud, it's now going to be deleted. Since what is called the safe harbor date has passed, and since the states have certified their election, here is the statement from YouTube. We also work to make sure that lines between what is removed and what is allowed is drawn in the right place. Our policies prohibit misleading viewers about where and how to vote. We also disallow content alleging widespread fraud or errors changing the outcome of the historic U.S. presidential election. However, in some cases, that has meant allowing controversial views on the outcome or process of counting votes, as election officials have worked to finalize counts. Yesterday was the safe harbor deadline for the U.S. presidential election, and enough states have certified their election results to determine a president-elect, Given that, we will start removing any piece of content uploaded today or anytime after that misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. So I wonder if my YouTube that I'm making right now will be taken down. Well, as Jenna Ellis stated, the lie that there is no evidence of voter fraud has been thoroughly debunked. And the entire state of Texas and 17 other states claiming election fraud are being now heard before the United States Supreme Court. But for YouTube and its parent company, Google, that lawsuit is not legitimate. That lawsuit is fake news. So apparently any claims to that case cannot be posted on YouTube, according to their statement yesterday. YouTube is no longer defending truth. YouTube is getting behind a political position. The media is now going on beyond just lying. They're now censoring the opposition. So now let's talk about the spiritual, biblical lessons we can learn from all this. Listeners may wonder why a Christian minister like myself would be addressing these controversial political topics. Well, because we must understand that we're experiencing in our social political world this war between the truth and the lie, between the people of God who hold to the moral law of God and the supremacy of Jesus Christ and those who are promoting lawlessness, abortion, LGBTQ, and they reject the concept of biblical revelation and the authority of Christ. And it's all playing itself out in the political realm. Just read the book of the Revelation. It's all about the political manifestation of this war against God. We are in a war over truth. Just as Jesus said, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He lied in the garden and he's been lying ever since about everything. Back to this New York Times article I referred to earlier. It stated that Trump and his voters are living in an alternative reality. But who is actually living in an alternative reality? Who is denying reality because it doesn't fit their narrative? Well, that's a question that's biblical in nature, because the Bible is all about this conflict between two different realities. In the Old Testament, the alternative realities claimed by the false prophets versus the reality taught by the true prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha. Or in the New Testament, the alternative reality claimed by the Pharisees versus the reality taught by Jesus. In the Old Testament, the prophets cried, lies and not truth prevail in the land. In the New Testament, Jesus said that the Pharisees were the blind leaders of the blind. And the apostles spoke much about the lying in this world, the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, 1 Timothy 4. This world is all about the truth versus the lie. And the sooner we understand this, the sooner we're going to get into the battle and the sooner we're going to appreciate the battle. John 18, Jesus said, "For this reason, I have come into the world to testify to the truth." Now, there are some Christians who get very squeamish about a Christian minister addressing the political lies of the day, as if we should just stick to John chapter 3, verse 16. But realize that included in the gospel is the law. And the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And it is through seeing these political lies, these social lies, these economic lies, that the unsaved individual begins to see that the world is corrupt. And this brings the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, the truth that with their tongues they keep deceiving, that truth doesn't save us, but that leads us to Christ who does save. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all of the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." People need the knowledge of sin. Now, I would agree that political talk is useless if it fails to explain to people the source of lies and the solution to the lies. The gospel solution. And my prayer is that any non-Christian listening to this program would learn through the news that we are living in a world where people lie. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, that the world suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And not just suppressing political truth, but suppressing those bigger truths about God, man, and salvation, which is the reason mankind will suppress these lesser conservative political truths. And my prayer is that unbelievers would come to realize that unless they receive the authority of Scripture and the authority of Christ, they will be deceived by these lies and they will fall further and further into darkness. Jesus said in John chapter 12, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of the light." You know, I don't care about the election so much. I care that souls are saved and transferred from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness, the lies, to the light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Here's a biblical text that should shake every listener to his core. Matthew chapter 24, the words of Jesus about the apocalypse that will come upon this world at the end of this age. Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Now, don't just read that text in a religious context. False prophets include false teachers and leaders. It includes political pundits. It includes the politicians of the last day, those who promote the anti-Christ, anti-God's law, globalist agenda. This even includes the Antichrist himself. It is political social leaders who will mislead, if possible, even the elect. Then we can compare Jesus' teaching about the apocalypse to the Apostle Paul's additional inspired revelations about the apocalypse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, "That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness." So notice the key words here: false wonders, deceptions of wickedness, deluding influence, believing what is false, did not believe the truth. The end of this age is all about the people of this world embracing a satanic, religious, political lie. A lie so great that Jesus said, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. So what does that mean? Well, the lie will be so convincing, the social pressure to believe the lie will be so great, that unless someone has a special supernatural relationship with God, they are one of the elect, born again, saved, they will be deceived. And these words of Jesus are also telling us that we're going to be entering into a day where 98% of the public will believe the lie. Why do I say 98%? Well, because the fact is that it's only 2 to 3% of the population that are genuinely Christian, born again, the elect of God. And Jesus said that the lie would deceive everyone but the elect, and it would even deceive them, but for the fact that they are the elect and they're illuminated by the Holy Spirit. One must be protected by the Spirit of God from these lies. So are you prepared for that day? A day when you have to believe something that almost all the public says is not true. I'm not talking about the election results. fraud and misreporting on the election is only a small illustration of a much bigger problem. The day is coming, and has come, where the whole world will embrace the lie of secular humanism that puts man and man's law upon the throne, and this lie will someday be enforced through a totalitarian state, the beast. The day is coming where the lie will prevail. And where will you stand? For God or for this world? And you have to decide, not tomorrow, but today. Because in all likelihood, tomorrow is going to be too late. Because tomorrow, as Jesus said, you may be overtaken by darkness, that deluding influence. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, about people's biases, how we first decide what we want to believe, and then we find evidence to support our conclusions. We're not as objective as we think we are. Our worldview determines how we interpret the data around us. If we have an anti-God worldview, the data pointing to atheism will be true for us. If we have a pro-God worldview, the data will all point to God being true. As Blaise Pascal wrote in the 17th century, the same God who reveals himself to those who love him hides himself from those who hate him. Our truth detector is connected to our spiritual condition. Well, in thinking about this, imagine if there was a PolitiFact article written in AD 32, Dateline Jerusalem. Question: is Jesus the Messiah? And we could imagine the PolitiFact article going something like this. Yes, there are some testimonies of miracles, and a small minority of the public surveyed believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but the religious experts disagree. They are even putting people out of their synagogues and censoring those who support Jesus. And even when Jesus was asked to show evidence of his messiahship, this Jesus refused to give a sign, saying something instead like, the only sign you're going to receive is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jesus prevaricated by claiming that an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. Therefore, Jesus' claims are baseless. PolitiFact, truth meter, then gives Jesus' claims mostly false. Well, that's the conclusion the majority of the people in the world come to. But they, the experts, the social leaders, are wrong. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe. It wasn't that they didn't believe because they examined the evidence and found it wasn't true, but they examined the evidence and found it true and they didn't want to believe it that way. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, they did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. That is the world we live in. So let me conclude with some news about the election. Again, this is all just to illustrate the battle between the lie and the truth. The news just keeps coming in so quickly, but that by the time this program is aired, a lot of this is going to be old news. But nevertheless, here are some of the headlines you're probably not going to hear in the mainstream news networks. Number one, Dominion voting machines, which handle the votes of 28 states, is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Not a Chinese company, but the Chinese government itself. The Security and Exchange Commission filings have been verified. Back in 2014, the Chinese government bought a percentage of Dominion for $100 million. And in October of this year, right before the election, the CHICOM spent $400 million to buy 75% ownership of Dominion. And on the board of the bank that acts as the holding company of Dominion, there are board members associated with the Chinese Communist Party. Now, why would the Chinese Communist government want to own worldwide voting machines? The company. They don't vote in China in any meaningful way. The Chinese Communists do let the people vote for local offices, but it's suspected that it's just for show, that the government manipulates the numbers as they want. No wonder they want to own Dominion machines. So regardless of what you think about the fraud or possibilities of fraud in the 2020 election, the Chinese government should not own the company that produces and manages U.S. voting machines. You know, and it's even more outrageous that the news media is saying that there's nothing to see here. Second story, a New York Post story. A United States postal worker was arrested at the Canadian border with a bin of mail containing some undelivered absentee ballots. Now, this story is not a smoking gun to overturn the election, but it demonstrates that the Postal Service is not a secure place for ballots to be held. Like the story of this postal driver in Pennsylvania who was told to drive a truck full of ballots from New York State to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then overnight the trailer and the ballots disappeared. There is no law enforcement oversight, no poll watchers at these postal locations. Once ballots are filled out, they need to be put in a safe box watched by poll watchers from both parties, not sitting in some postal facility. A third story. Trump lawyers file a lawsuit in Nevada claiming they can prove 40,000 people voted twice in Nevada, mostly by sending in mail-in ballots and then also voting at the polls. And since Biden only won by 33,000 votes, this is enough voter irregularity to overturn Nevada's election results. A fourth story out of Georgia. One huge batch of 23,000 ballots for Biden have been identified as fraudulent. Two affidavits from poll workers described a batch of Biden votes, which were in pristine condition and perfectly made. Quote, I watched them pull out of a pile of what I observed to be absentee ballots and noticed two very distinct characteristics that these ballots had. One, I noticed that they all had a perfect black bubble. And two, all were for Biden. I was able to observe the perfect bubble for a few minutes before they made me move away from the table. And another story in this regard, after the Georgia recount, the governor is now calling for a signature audit. Apparently, a signature audit doesn't actually look at signatures, but it goes beyond just a recount and looks at the character of the ballots. The governor called for this audit after a video surfaced last week showing poll watchers being asked to leave a ballot counting center because it was alleged that there was a water main break. And after the poll watchers left, the workers began to unpack everything and resume counting ballots. Now, the election officials in Georgia say that this was no big deal. They were told to shut down, but then they got a call to keep going. And then these officials say, we never told the poll watchers to leave. But the affidavits of these poll watchers state that they were told to leave. And even if the manager there was told to keep counting, he should have said, no, I can't do that. I just told poll watchers we're closing down for the night. So here's the issue. Like I mentioned last week in reference to that Princeton professor, Andrew Appel, and his findings, our elections cannot be verified. They can't even be audited properly because there are so few security systems in place. Election researchers have warned these states that if our elections were ever to be challenged, there is no way election officials can assure the public that the votes were secure and genuine. Well, now the election is being challenged. And election officials can't really prove that the voting machines have not been tampered with. Some of these machines don't even keep log files. But even if they did, there can be computer programmers changing the results. So since these election officials cannot prove integrity, they simply put the proof, burden of proof back on the public, that the public has to prove fraud. Yet the burden of proof should actually be on the election officials to prove that cheating could not take place. The assumption of innocence is really wrongheaded. It should be assumed that if people can get away with cheating, they will cheat. Here's another story out of Georgia. Earlier this week, the Trump campaign filed this lawsuit in Georgia. The team looked at ballots and can prove that over 100,000 votes in Georgia were illegal, enough to overturn the election. 2,560 felons voted. 66,247 underage voters voted, 2,423 votes from people not registered. 1,043 individuals registered to vote using post office boxes, which is illegal. 4,926 individuals voted in Georgia after registering in another state. 395 individuals voted in two states. 15,700 votes were from people who moved out of the state before the election. 40,279 votes were from people who moved without re-registering in another county. And another 30 to 40,000 absentee ballots lack proper signature, matching, and verification. If the tables were turned and Trump won Georgia by 10,000 votes, the Biden campaign could bring the exact same lawsuit. A state cannot certify its election unless it has clean voter rolls and ballots. How about this story? A similar challenge is happening in Arizona. The Amistad Project files election litigation challenging 300,000 ballots in Arizona. The Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society filed a motion Wednesday night in Superior Court contesting the results of the 2020 presidential election, citing expert data analysis indicating that hundreds of thousands of potentially illegal votes were counted, while over 100,000 legal ballots were not counted. The data compiled and analyzed over the course of weeks of rigorous investigation showed that the total number of illegal ballots counted and legal ballots not counted exceeds 300,000 votes, far more than the number of votes separating the presidential candidates. And now the big story of the week. The state of Texas is filing a lawsuit against these four battleground states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, because each of these states violated their own constitutional election laws by expanding mail-in balloting. So this suit has nothing to do with election fraud in regard to vote count. It has to do with provable, clear violations of state election law, which disenfranchise the state of Texas from having a fair legal outcome to this presidential election. If the Supreme Court allows states to break their election laws, then democracy is over in America. So the Supreme Court has to take this case. And yesterday, it was announced that it did take the case. And the Supreme Court has to rule against these states. The only issue is the remedy. Either these states are going to have to hold another election, or these state legislators are going to have to vote on which electors they're going to send. And all of these states have Republican legislators in the majority. And if it comes down to the federal level, the House of Representatives decides who is the president, and each state gets one vote, and the Republican states outnumber the Democrat states. And so Trump wins. And with this Texas lawsuit, the story of election fraud is no longer a conspiracy theory by kooky people. This has now become a real case. And the icing on the case is that 17 other states are joining the Texas lawsuit. But think about this. The Democrats, in their frenzy to implement mail-in ballots, because mail-in ballots tended to favor the Democrats, these Democrats forgot to follow their state law, their state constitutions. So that if the law is followed, everything they did in the mail-in ballot scheme gets overturned. Oh, how the mighty has fallen. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back upon him. Thank you for including God and country as one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Keep standing for the faith. And having done everything to stand, stand firm, and may Jesus Christ reign.